Tucson, good morning and welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for Tipping Point. My name is Zach Yenser. I'm your host. Daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Looking forward to chatting in just a second with Eric Smith, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. Like most of our institutions, the U of A and all of its functions have had to shift, but entrepreneurs and startups are still starting on. And so how is the university supporting the people and ideas coming out of our community? And then at 9:35, through almost the end of the hour, financial planner Jason Robinson comes on. He's the vice president and financial planner for MassMutual Arizona here in the Tucson office. And so many of us, and I will include myself in that, are wondering, where does this whole COVID thing go? Where does it end? What does it mean for our financial planning and our finances? So much uncertainty. And we have Jason on to try and bring a little clarity to how we should be thinking about planning our finances. I would say not just for the next 2 or 3 months, but for the next 12. So that's our show today. Hope it's resourceful for you. Give us a call, 790-2040, which is the line Eric Smith called in, the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, to be here in studio with us. Eric Smith, welcome in. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So you're maybe almost a year into this role. Time flies so quickly, I can't keep track of it.
Very true. Yeah, almost a year.
Incredible. Again, the executive director of UACI. Talk to us, Eric, about kind of the pre-COVID-19 reality for UACI. What are some of the things you've been up to, and what do you offer and serve to our entrepreneurial community? And then we'll talk about how you've had to shift here in the last couple weeks.
Of course. So the University of Arizona Center for Innovation is an incubator network for the university. We're based out of the tech parks. We serve scalable science and technology ventures. They come from the university, they come from the community, and they actually come from around the world through our international soft landing program. What happens is, to the current situation, startups go through a pretty intense program, takes them through a continuum of activities and education, all the things that they're going to need to know in order to fail fast, which is perfectly acceptable in the startup world, or find that product market fit and be successful. That's everything from validating their product through customer discovery, through five-year financial projections, marketing, team and growth development, et cetera. And then we have the mentors and residents, subject matter experts, broader network, and our staff that really help to conduct all these activities. So we have program. We have spaces at the tech park is our primary location, collaboration space, wet labs, dry labs, a prototyping center. And then we run programming in partnership with the Vail Chamber, in partnership with the town of Sahuarita Economic Development. We just built, an incubator in Oro Valley focused on biotechnology. And that's in partnership with a lot of the great companies and municipalities in the area. So we were in the midst of doing quite a bit, and with the pandemic, we've had to make some adjustments, as has everybody else.
Absolutely, and we'll get to that for sure. But I'd love to get your view, Eric. This is a little bit 30,000 foot and steps outside of the COVID stuff and what's going on. But there's some real momentum within the university right now to really infuse entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial thinking throughout the entire university. I don't think it's a culture that's been set up until maybe the last year or two. Has that been your sense, and how do you see that impacting your role and your opportunity there at UA Tech Park and UACI?
Well, you're exactly right, and a lot of that progress and a lot of the direction in moving towards, you know, more broadly innovation and entrepreneurship throughout campus really does start from the top down. We've got Dr. Robbins, our president, who came on board, has a background from Stanford, where a lot of this activity took place there. We have Dr. Betsy Cantwell, who puts innovation at the forefront of everything that her unit is working on. And then, of course, we have my boss, Carol Stewart, at the Tech Park, who came from a really robust innovation ecosystem in Waterloo, Canada. And I think if you kind of combine some of that leadership and all of them kind of pointing in the right direction, a very well thought out strategic plan, the rest of us, right, the ones that are helping to coordinate those activities, kind of know where we're heading, and certainly the vision, large in part, includes innovation and entrepreneurship.
For sure, yeah, and again, I think. I think it's fair to say that the entrepreneurship community in Tucson, startups, innovation, technology, it could move forward without the U of A, but it's much better if the U of A is really a driving force that internally from the top down and then supportive out in the community is behind it. We really can't achieve our full potential, I think, without the university coming alongside and helping to lead. Has that been your experience, and would you say Carol's experience as well, in other communities, successful communities she's been a part of, where entrepreneurship and technology and innovation was happening?
Sure. I'll start by saying that kind of university aside, this community really is rallying together to support our entrepreneurs. There are just a plethora of programs and spaces and individuals and mentors and investors that are really coming together to ensure that we have a thriving environment for our entrepreneurs. But, absolutely, the university does and should play a leading role in helping to charge that forward. A lot of the incredible innovation that the researchers are working on result in, inventions that are solutions to really core problems and can make it out into the marketplace through a startup with an organization like TechLaunch Arizona, which that's their responsibility. We have the resources to do a lot of the work that for example, that we do at the incubator. We have the university brand. I think when you have a university that has the resources that we have and the direction that we have, certainly we should play a large part in leading that charge forward.
Before we go to break, Eric Smith, one of the questions that I sense and hear out in the community is, why is it so important for Tucson to invest in itself, becoming a community where innovation, entrepreneurship, new startups are happening? We're a UNESCO City of Gastronomy. We've been a film capital. We've been a tourism hub. And I don't know if you get this too, Eric, but there's almost a sense of, why is this even important? Why is this an area that we need to invest in? What happens for Tucson if we've got a thriving entrepreneurship ecosystem, a tech sector? We think about Raytheon, but Raytheon can sometimes be, very on its own. I don't mean that in a negative way. So much of the innovation happening in Tucson is kind of tucked away. And so when it's forefront like it is today, I just don't know if Tucson is ready for it. What would you say to that? What happens if we're successful?
So it's all in the name of kind of fueling economic development. So historically, we've done a great job, especially in the last few years, in attracting existing businesses to be here, in our area. And that's extremely important. And those businesses create jobs and bring jobs and great people here. But then there's the flip side of the coin, which is the growth. And we accomplish growth of our economy through new businesses that purchase places, have assets, hire employees, bring in capital. You mentioned, we're a city of gastronomy. We have some great brick and mortar new places. We have restaurants, retail. And then the side that we work with is, those scalable science and technology startups. And they have to be a part of the mix as well. Because what happens is, though they tend to be riskier, right? They fail more. That's a normal part of scalable startups, normal part of startups in general. But should they succeed, you get situations like what you had with Ventana Medical Systems. Small company grew here, acquired by Roche, and look at the amount of jobs that brought to the area. They're really helping to fuel an area like Oro Valley. You've got companies like Accelerate Diagnostics or Sinfonia, which was just acquired. It puts a spotlight on our city. It shows other young workers that our city supports that type of activity, supports innovation, entrepreneurship, thinking beyond. And so there's a number of ancillary benefits to investing in the support of our startups, both, you know, on the growth side with brick and mortar and restaurants, as well as on the scalable science and technology side.
Yeah. You know, Eric, I think that's a great answer, because what the next generation of workers are looking for in a community is different from what maybe previous generations were looking for. I think that, you know, certainly we attract a lot of people because of our weather and our outdoors and our culture. But what you're working on, what the university is a part of, what our larger ecosystem is working on, I think is a real part of shaping the 21st century opportunity for Tucson. And I think that when we talk about bringing in that next generation of workers and keeping them here, they're looking for a community where innovation is happening. And as you know better than anybody, Eric, I think it's a 2-to-1 number for every job created in the innovation space. There's 2 ancillary jobs created. I've seen that number as high as 5. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're seeing, but it's exponential. It really is.
Yeah, there's a number of kind of pieces to that. You know, long gone are the days where, you know, somebody out of college, you know, wants to go work for a company and they plan on working there for 40 years and retiring. So when you want to talk about attracting young talent, oftentimes they're looking, well, if I get there, if I get to a place like Tucson, I'm there with that company, what's there beyond that? You know, what else does Tucson have to offer so that if I decide to change course, or if I decide to do my own thing in the case of our entrepreneurs, you know, there's a community there that supports what we're doing. The other thing that we're seeing, and one of the reasons why we're working on the incubator in Oro Valley, is there was a need for these biotech companies in the area to have an offering for trailing spouses. So you might have an incredible scientist that is considering moving to Tucson, but has a family and maybe a spouse that has some skill set that they can apply, and you know, why not try their hand at being a part of a startup or, you know, engaging in that atmosphere?
For sure. Hey, Eric, we went a little bit over our break for that first segment, but I think this was important to talk about, and thank you for your insight on that. One of the cool things I did want to cover with you, and we're going to get to it after the break, is obviously in the age of social distancing for hopefully just a few more weeks, but it's put pressure on organizations like mine, like yours, to figure out how do we provide services to our members in virtual ways, online ways, how do we support networks and pitches and portfolios, all of that good stuff. And you're going to tell us about how UACI has pivoted to keep our entrepreneurship ecosystem going here in Tucson. We'll be right back after the break to hear more from Eric Smith, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. We'll go to our first break, and then we'll be back. I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that 1 out of every 4 persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time, but there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started. So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Proud, excited, honored to be able to celebrate here on Tipping Point for this whole rest of the year and on, but this year particularly with Tech Parks Arizona, the 25 years here in Tucson. And we get to highlight today the work of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. Executive Director Eric Smith is on the line with us. We talked a little bit last segment about why is this important? Why do we want to have a thriving innovation and entrepreneurship environment in Tucson? How do we get there? We're going to make a take a little spin towards the current because like so many of us, the services and opportunities out of UACI and the U of A at large has had to take a virtual pivot. Eric Smith, what are some creative ways you're seeing entrepreneurs and support services that you provide pivot to go virtual in the age of social distancing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mentioned earlier that the University of Arizona Center for Innovation is a part of the Tech Parks, and so I'm going to start there. And first and foremost, it starts off with a really incredible and cohesive team. So if it's, you know, our IT director and his ability to make sure that we all have the tools to work from home, if it is, you know, our facilities director and our CFO, you know, ensuring that that the park is still a safe place for companies to come back to. There's 6,000 people that rely on the park to be at. You know, all the way down to the work that we're doing with our team at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. So when you think about the startups and some of the things that they're going through, you know, they're having strategic partners or potential customers tell them, what you're doing is great, but it's extremely new and novel. We were willing to take the risk earlier, and, you know, maybe right now we should hold off, and you know, we got to put all of our resources in the now instead of the future. Or having to do virtual pitches to investors where you can work very virtually, but, you know, there are some instances where being able to connect individually before or after the pitch with an investor is important, or being able to connect through emotion in person is important. Or even, you know, the standard ways of doing business, the startups are seeing that, you know, if they're selling, for example, we have a startup that has a new scientific method for mushroom production, and the way that they're fueling their R&D is by selling to farmers markets. Well, right now, they're not doing that. And so, you know, we have to very individually help each of the 21 companies that we have on board pivot. So in the case of that company that is producing mushrooms in a new scientific way, you know, rather than selling to the farmers markets, they can actually sell what are called the blocks. So the step right before they introduce oxygen into the bacteria to grow mushrooms, they can actually sell those direct. So people can purchase those, open them up, and mushrooms begin to grow in their very own home. Or, you know, create powdered versions of their product that they can ship. You know, there's some medicinal purposes for mushrooms. So, you know, there's a lot of very individual help that goes on with those startups, and we can virtually connect them with other domain experts, with our mentors, et cetera, to ensure that they know how to navigate that. But some other things that we're doing, just a few examples, we have now on a regular cadence, virtual meetings with all of our startups, where they have an opportunity to connect with each other and connect with us. There's no main mission for these meetings other than let's talk about what's going on. How are you pivoting? Learn from each other. Ask us questions. Allow us to ask questions. And you'd be amazed at the amount of next steps everybody comes away with, you know, after a virtual meeting like that. We do you know, very regular check-ins virtually, both our staff and our mentors, to ensure that they're heading down the right path. We had a company that was scheduled to pitch in another state for a competition, for a grant competition, and it went virtual. So keeping a safe distance and with only two of us, We got on board and we filmed that pitch virtually so that they could submit their pitch. We have one that's doing customer discovery, so we help them, you know, interact virtually with customers and distributed a survey for them. So there's a number of things that we can do to continue to provide a lot of the support that we would provide in person, to continue to allow them to connect with each other, but also do it in a virtual manner. And so the final thing that I would say is, you know, we're trying to do an uptick in celebration of our startups. So we're trying to put out more media on them, more press, so that they're continuously exposed to the community where they might not be through, networking events. And then having a resource for them. Everybody right now has been really incredible, especially in this community, with making sure that small businesses and startups understand what resources are available to them. But it can be a bit inundating when you're receiving all this info.
Right.
So we've collected a place for them to kind of view that as well.
Incredible. In this time, if you're called the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, you have to innovate, right? If you're not innovating, you got to turn that card in and walk away, I would say, right? We're Eric Smith, the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation and incubator within Tech Parks, Arizona. Eric, any advice out there, or let's do this. We got a minute and a half. I'm curious, how does this change the game for you? What's one way you think this will actually innovate how you serve startups when we can actually be in person, but through online? What do you think?
First and foremost, I am amazed at the uptick in touch points that mm-hmm. we've had with our startups because it's virtual, and I think a lot of organizations are seeing this. We are making ourselves and our programming available in a manner that doesn't require us to think a week out and schedule a meeting. You know, you can pick up the phone, you can call, you can jump on Zoom. And I think, you know, not just us, but a lot of organizations are going to be able to integrate quicker, you know, that IT approach in their organization. The final thing that I would say is we are really relying on our network, on the others in the community that are working with startups, on Startup Tucson and Forge and the co-working spaces that are out there.
Yep.
And I would encourage everybody to continue to rely on their networks and startups out there to not be afraid to ask for help.
Eric, I love it. Short and sweet and to the point. Thank you so much for giving us the call. Thanks for what you're doing for our community at University of Arizona Center for Innovation, Tech Parks Arizona. Thanks for helping our startups pivot and sharing your experience this morning.
My pleasure, Zach, and thank you for continuing to spread the word and keep us all informed.
You got it. Take care. Stay healthy. Tucson, we'll be right back after bottom of the hour news to talk financial planning during COVID. Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761. Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
The Two Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends is delighted to be featured on AM 1030 The Voice, a great radio station for the best Jewish radio show in America. Two Jewish features news, music, comedy, and conversation, plus insightful interviews with outstanding Jewish luminaries from around the world. Join us at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning on AM 1030 The Voice. Your mother says it's good for you.
Tucson, welcome on back into Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. If you just joined us, we wrapped up just a minute ago our interview with Eric Smith, the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, an incubator at Tech Parks, Arizona. Talked about, again, through all this, why it's important to have a thriving innovation economy in Tucson, and how do we keep that going during COVID-19? I got to say, it's weird for me to talk about because it's tough times for a lot of people, health, economically, security, financially, but there's also through all this some really interesting ways that we're innovating, how we communicate, how we talk, how we get work done. And I think there's going to be some bright spots way after all this is said and done. We'll look back and said, yeah, that kind of changed during a tough time, but it was probably for the better. So I'm trying to figure out how to talk about that because it's weird to talk about right now because so many are feeling financially insecure. I talked to so many people who had a nest egg or had, you know, things were going well in the stock market or they had, you know, lots of streams of income coming in and all just kind of ground to a halt about a week and a half ago. I hear a lot of people saying, "What? How do I think about my finances? How do I plan for the future? What now?" And I heard that. I heard you. And I got a hold of my friend Jason Robinson. He's a financial planner here in Tucson. He's the vice president and financial planner for Mass Mutual Arizona here in the Tucson office and a certified financial planner. Jason, thanks for giving us a call. I know many of us are appreciating your time this morning.
Yeah, Zach, absolutely. Hopefully our time together will be helpful for your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've even cleared off some time here this show to really focus on this and stretch our time out together. First of all, what do you make of what we're seeing right now? Maybe what are some things that we should be concerned about in a sound financial planning way? And maybe what are some things you're seeing out there that maybe are freaking people out that shouldn't? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think from a macro standpoint, there's a lot of concerns, just questions about what's going on. And I mean, if you look at it, if you're reading any of the headlines, the market's gone up 20% in the last 3 days. And so there's just this craziness happening. So, you know, the way we look at it, I think, is to look more of it from a holistic standpoint. And there's two kind of conversations that we're having with any clients or anyone that we're chatting with right now is, number one, what do I do in the short term? Or is there opportunities or I'm scared? And so we're really just kind of figuring out like, hey, the economy right now we know is built not to be shut down. There's people that are losing jobs. I mean, we're even having to make some hard decisions at our office. So we're trying to get through this short term. And I think seeing what the government has done just in the recent 24 hours and the predictability of what that's going to do going forward has given the market some level of predictability. So I think in the short term, that's helpful. How that plays out going forward, it's left to be seen. So we've got this short term where people are scared. And we're working with people just saying, hey, you've got an advisor available. We encourage people to talk to theirs or talk to us to help walk through that short term. But then when we look at it from the long term standpoint, that's where we're really trying to say, hey, listen, stick to the plan, you know, stay the course. A lot of our clients start to have a little sense of peace of mind when they start saying, okay, I'll just stick to the course. And then when we get out of this on the backside, I know that it'll start to recover and retirement maybe not isn't for another 20, 25 years from now. So maybe this is a buying opportunity and I should stay the course if I can just get through the scary time now. But then some of those that are closer to the retirement, we're talking about, alternative ways of pulling income and just how to be more safe, if you will. So.
For sure. Yeah. And Jason, I'll throw this out there and clarify it as well is, you know, we're talking, trying to be broad, but also specific, but also realizing that so much of this is stuff that really needs to be talked about one-on-one with your financial advisor. And if someone listening doesn't have one, you could be that guy. And so we're going to try to be tangible, but also your advice would be to not just take this advice and run with it would be to say, hey, I heard you, Jason, on the air. and I talk to my guy or talking to you about it, because this is so very specific to each individual. Sure. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. I would say, everyone, don't hesitate to talk to your advisor if you already have one. Or if you don't, if you've got questions, you can certainly reach out to myself or someone on our team. But here's one of the myths that I think you should break down, is that you don't have to have a minimum net worth in order to talk to an advisor. There's so many people out there that just have questions about, should I get rid of things, or how do I manage my debt or student loans, and what's going on? So I want to debunk that myth right off the bat, saying you don't have to have a net worth to just be able to ask questions and just get answers. Now, what I will tell you too is that the way that our team is built as well is that even though we've got the capacity to work as the advisor, we also work very well within existing plans. So if someone has an advisor and they just want to ask some other questions, we are not in the business of just saying, hey, let's just own everything. We can say, hey, if you're working with someone and there is some good planning, there may be some area of planning that we can come to the table with, or some fresh perspective, and work well within existing plans as well.
That's great. Jason, I hear this, and I'm sure you have too, and I wonder if you have any insight. I think part of the insecurity and challenges when it comes to finances right now is due to the fact that there's so many mixed messages out there. We'll go from, hearing, our policy leaders say we'd love to have this done in a month. We hear from health organizations the curve won't be flattened until May. We hear from physicians that this could be around for 18 months. I mean, there's just so much out there. It's almost paralyzing.
Sure.
If you were to encourage broadly people to think about their timelines, or when they consider investing or pulling out or retirement planning, what's a safe timeline to maybe be thinking about those decisions? I don't even know how to ask the question, but I know people are wrestling with that. And what would you say?
Sure. No, I wish I had that crystal ball, because I think we would all have that level of security. And it is a tough question to ask, and it's a hard one to answer, because I don't know. This is unusual. I was in the business back in 2008. That was more of a financial issue that we had. This one's more of a medical issue that we've got. We're doing the social distancing thing, and my team, we're all working from home virtually, so it's a unique time frame. So I don't know how long it's going to be, but I will tell you that it can be very tempting to try and time the market. If some people do have some money on the sideline that maybe they had earmarked for emergencies, or I've got a client that's got a wedding coming up at the end of the year. My point to your listeners is, don't be tempted at the sacrifice of short-term needs. So don't use that emergency fund to say, hey, maybe I can be opportunistic, because you may win, but it also may not play in your favor. So sticking to the plan, again, is going to be the way to go. Also, just making sure that you still have that emergency fund, making sure that you're managing debts, that's still going to be so critical today. And just honestly, just having someone on your side that you can call. And a lot of clients of mine are just saying, hey, they just say, I don't even know how to ask this question, but it's almost like, are we just going to be okay? And sometimes I just tell them, hey, stay the course, or, yes, we're doing well, or, hey, shoot, I've had some clients come to me and just say, hey, so I had this money off to the sideline. Would be now a good time to buy in? It's like, well, yeah, it is. Things are lower priced than they were before. And as long as we're not sacrificing emergencies or other, needs, absolutely, now's a good time. But even there, we're not even dumping it all at one time, because I don't know if we've seen the bottom. Maybe not.
Right.
So we do employ some economic terms like dollar cost averaging, and we're putting some money in today, and then we say, let's see what happens. And if it starts to go up, we're glad we did it.
Mm.
What happens if it goes down? Hey, good thing we didn't throw it all in at one time. So those are just some of the short-term strategies that are good to have an advisor by your side to, give that good perspective.
For sure. And what I'm hearing, Jason, is now might be the time for tweaks, but not hard pivots. In other words, now's not the time. And this all varies again. Gotta say the disclaimer again. This varies person by person. But in general, your encouragement would be talk to somebody before you make a hard shift, before you make a big investment right now, before you, if you maybe you feel like you want to dump stock or you want to dump investments, that you want to kind of hunker down. If you've got a plan, you've been doing something, your advice would be talk to somebody financially in financial advisement first before making a big, fast move. Stay the course as much as possible is what I'm hearing from you, yeah. Jason Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we kind of use the analogy, if you will, of like we've got this boat out at sea, you know, and we're not going to make these hard turns. But yeah, absolutely. We may verge a little bit off to the side, you know, to be a little bit more efficient. You know, that's what we're talking about. But outside of just the investments, too, insurance planning is important today as well, as people are changing employment, unfortunately. What do I do about insurances or privately owned, you know, insurances, and just recapping some of that stuff to make sure that we're not, you know, that we're still appropriately covered. And we have a phrase here, you know, at our office that we say, you know, we insure in what could go wrong so that we can invest in what could go right.
Jason, this is a tough time, tough questions, tough answers. And I know you have to stay kind of 15 to 30,000 feet here, on the air. I guess I'd have one more question before we take off together. And that would be, you know, my listeners range from, you know, professionals in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. To folks who are either retiring or about to retire in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and I'm sure older. It's kind of two groups in my mind with maybe different needs. Could you speak to, not advice maybe, but some questions that you would be asking if you're in one of those groups, if you're, you know, in your 60s about to retire and you're in your 30s right now and just starting your career? Give us some thoughts for each of those buckets there.
Yeah, I mean, Zach, it's great that you're phrasing that way, because truly what I've learned, you know, in almost 20 years in the financial world is every single person has their own unique story. And, I mean, the questions that I would ask them first off is, you know, what's the purpose? What's your desire? I always allow, the clients as we walk in and our advisors that we have, we really just try and say, let's dream it first. So let's just ask those bigger questions. So, you know, if we wanted to retire, let's imagine what that would look like. Or what do you want to do? Travel or spend time here or buying that cabin or whatever the case might be. If you're a young professional, it's like, you know, at what age would you like to be financially independent? Or are you looking to buy a home or something along those lines? Because then what we do is almost reverse engineer it backwards to say, if that's where you want to go, then let's figure out how to get there. We've got all of the math modeling tools available, but unless we know what each person's desire is and what's their own struggles and successes that they've had, once we can work our way backwards there, you know, the different strategies or the different products, they just surface themselves. It's more of understanding the reason why people are going to save their money versus spending it today has to be one of the first questions that I encourage my advisors to say, when you're sitting in front of someone, get to know them, their story, whether or not they are the young professionals or if they're the retirees or anyone in between. I mean, sometimes we work with people with special needs children. I mean, that's got its own unique desires and planning versus someone who gets an inheritance or they're just struggling. All of those questions have to be asked first in order to be most relevant to them.
Right. Jason, any, since I think I have time for one more question, you know, I think a lot of families, and maybe we don't divide it up by age or season, but a lot of families, you know, have maybe had a savings plan or something like that. And this has just thrown a whole wrench into everything because nobody knows the full impact or how long this goes or if their job will be around. Any Any thoughts for folks who are just kind of in the run of day trying to make it happen and are trying to either save for retirement or save for the future? Any advice that you can share on the air today to help weather this time?
Yeah, you know, it is a unique time. You know, some of the things we're working on at our office is with the virtual stuff. We're actually putting together a virtual roundtable, and we've got some local celebrities that are going to join the call and talk about some of the stuff that they're doing in these times, that we're going to reach out to everyone. We want to make it free so that people can listen in. But I think really just coming up with that plan and having someone by your side, I constantly just keep hearing people say that that's just so helpful. I don't know if that answers your question. But another thing we're working on, too, is we're really building an all-female advisor team, and really specifically about financial education events that were designed for women by women. You can get more information on your listeners if that's of interest. They can go on to hersliceofthecake.com, or you can follow her on Instagram and Facebook. Those are some of the things that we're thinking about today to kind of say, you know, either what's the world that we're living in, or how do we come out of this thing? How can we be helpful for your listeners or our community to just kind of say, hey, we can get through this thing. And really, whatever their unique story is, how can we still help and serve well? So,
yeah, Jason, what I'm hearing, I think the most valuable part of this, just broadly, is, you know, we look at the shelves of our grocery stores, and we look at the toilet paper gone, the hand sanitizer. I mean, just stuff that doesn't make sense, because people's first reaction in times of uncertainty is to do the quick and easy things that seem to ease the most fear. And what I'm hearing from you is, don't do that with your finances. Don't make any hard turns and pivots.
Sure.
As much as possible.
But we got to survive, too.
Stay the course.
You know, that would be my other thing, too,
yeah.
Is just that balance between, let's not make any knee-jerk reactions, but
right.
There's also this sense of, hey, if we got to survive,
right.
Maybe we do have to make some unusual calls.
Right. So if anyone listening is kind of in that spot, and again, it's we wanted your analysis of the market as broadly as possible. When it comes to specifics, those are one-on-one calls. If someone listening doesn't have a financial guy that they're talking to and want to reach out to you, again, just to help through this time, what's a good way to give you a call?
Yeah, my office, I'm here in Tucson. Our office is at Skyline and Campbell. And my number is 274-3750. So that's a direct line to my office. You can also follow me on the old Facebook, you know, the LinkedIn at Jason Robinson, CLU CFP. And those are some great ways, you know. And if you said if you don't have a guy advisor, if you're a female out there and you want to maybe look for a female advisor, you can reach out to us through herslicesofthecake.com as well. And we're just here to serve in whatever capacity we can, Zach.
Awesome. I love that, Jason. Yeah, and financial guy on my part was not a gender reference, but I'm so glad it gave you the opportunity to also say that you provide services for guys and gals by guys and gals.
Yeah.
That's great. Jason, again, Jason Robinson, Vice President, Financial Planner for Mass Mutual Arizona here in Tucson. Could talk to you all day, sir, but that does it for us today. I really appreciate you calling on, giving us some comfort, and just that message of hold core, stay calm. But if you feel like you need to pivot, talk to somebody who can guide you through. I appreciate that message, Jason.
Yeah. If this helps the listeners, you know, have them reach out to you and just tell them, hey, that was a good segment. Maybe we do this more often if it helps.
Perfect. That'd be great. Yeah. Would love to see that happen. So reach out to me. Reach out to Jason. And until next time, sir, stay healthy, stay safe, and thanks for what you do.
Absolutely. Take care, Zach.
All right, sir. Jason Robinson, Vice President, Financial Planner for Mass Mutual Arizona here in Tucson. We're going to go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll wrap up Snapshot tomorrow, our Friday show, and then head off to Hugh Hewitt and Bill Buckmaster. Much more to go. Don't go away. 790-2040. Give me a call. Let's chat.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. for Tipping Point listeners only. Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, welcome on back into Tipping Point. We went a little bit over, but importantly so, talking with financial planner Jason Robinson with Mass Mutual office here in Tucson, financial planner and vice president of that office here. I think the message was loud and clear. Don't make toilet paper and hand sanitizer moves with your finances. Don't go and clear out the shelf. Stop hoarding. Don't do stuff that doesn't make sense. If you're in a pinch, you're in a crunch, need to make a move, talk to a financial planner. It could be Jason. It could be your guy or gal that you work with. If possible, stay the course, be comforted, and maybe it changes in a month. But we'll have Jason on hopefully in the future to talk us through how things change. But I thought that was a valuable message, whether it's retirement, stocks, savings, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 60s, or 70s, again, don't make toilet paper moves with your finances. Stay the course and stay calm and carry on. If you think something different needs to happen, again, talk to a financial planner. That is our PSA here on Tipping Point in these crazy times. This show has been sponsored in part by The Talent Store, founded by my friend Devin Underwood. She helps local companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and talent strategy consulting. From attracting a high-level leader, filling a key position, to retaining and developing your current teams, don't wing it. For more information, visit yourtalentstore.com and schedule a free consultation. I'll just plant this seed because we're going to roll this out next week. But the Talent Store is developing some really great tools and resources for you if you're a business owner coming out of COVID-19. The whole game has changed. Many of us have had to lay people off or let people go. And when we come out of this and we can turn the spigot on again of the economy, a lot will have changed. And I think many of us will need people like Devin at yourtalentstore.com to guide us through that new reality. So appreciate what they do here for our businesses on the show. When we come back tomorrow, Friday, looking forward to having Andy Berlin on. She is a local writer, and she's compiled some great resources for businesses and small restaurants and businesses and how we as a community can support. So we'll talk to her about how we can keep our local business community alive here through COVID-19. I'm also trying to get some SBA, Small Business Administration voices on as well to talk about how we keep our small businesses of any kind going here in Tucson. That's how we'll close out our Friday. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that at noon. afternoon, and so much more programming here to keep you up to date on everything happening locally, at the state level, nationally. You can stay right here on 1030 The Voice. Tipping Point is what you're listening to. Zach Yenser, me, has been your host, signing off till 9 o'clock tomorrow. See you there.